We're getting pretty close to the end of Proverbs here tonight. Oh, we good? Yeah, you could turn to Proverbs chapter 29, and we'll read verses 25 through 27 tonight. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you that we can come before you this evening. We thank you for the hope that one day Jesus truly shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, and we look forward to that day. But meantime, Father, we just pray that you would grant us to be always watching and waiting. And we pray, Father, as we wait, that you would open our eyes to your word this evening. We pray, Father, that you would give me wisdom as I speak and just bless this time, Father, that we would receive your word with meekness as the implanted word, which is able to save our souls, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this passage, actually, Proverbs 29, verses 25 through 27, as I was just speaking to some of you earlier, this is actually kind of the last part in Proverbs, ending up the Proverbs of Solomon, because Proverbs 30 begins with the words of Agur, and you get into Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel. So we're actually kind of finishing up the Proverbs of Solomon right here, which is kind of crazy that we're already here. But anyway, Proverbs 29, verse 25 through 27, it's really quite a contrast here between two things. It's like, we'll get into it more later, but we have the fear of men, seeking men versus the fear of God and seeking God. And I think it was in light of, well, it's particularly some of the events this last week, I think it's appropriate, actually, that we had this passage today, like what we think with the assassination attempt and on Saturday, that we can find comfort today in knowing that there is no help in fearing from men, of fearing men. So let's get into the verses today and just kind of delve a little more deeply into this. First, I'll just go ahead and read the verses again for us just to get the context, and then we'll get right into them. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. So I'll just start off with, I'll divide this really into three parts. Number one would be, whom should I fear? And then number two, whom should I seek? And then number three, what is the result of whom I fear and whom I seek? So whom should I fear? Let me kind of explain this, dividing these verses up this way. In verse 25, we have a very clear contrast between the fear of man and trusting in the Lord. Now, I think what we see here is almost really a chiasm, which is you have, some of you probably already know what chiasm is, but chiasm is, for those of you perhaps may not remember, It's almost like you have bookends of a thought, and then the main point is in the middle. I think it's kind of like a little mini chiastic structure here, in that we have the fear of man in verse 25, and then we have the fear of God on the last end. The fear of man brings a snare, end of verse 26. Justice, or judgment, I think is a better translation, comes from the Lord. And then we have many seek the ruler's favor, in verse 26, and in end of verse 25, that whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So we have fear on the very ends, but then we find help and trust in the middle. And we'll get into that a little more. Anyway, but let's just start off with the fear of man. Solomon says, the fear of man brings a snare. Now, this is, I'll just point out right here. Of course, we know in Proverbs, when we think of the fear of man, we automatically think of, in contrast to that, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Interestingly, it's not the same word for fear here that's used in Proverbs 1:7. Instead of using that word, the fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 1:7, he uses a word that means literally like terror, trembling here. Fear of man, that is like trembling before a man. You might have the idea of trembling before someone of power. That brings a snare. There's pictures for this throughout Scripture. One is in 1 Samuel 14:15. It's when Jonathan went against the Philistines with his armor bearer, that there was fear and trembling in the camp. This word is not as common as the other one, but the concept is fear or trembling before man. That is, fear is probably the best word here, but it's kind of a different context. Anyway, we see here that the fear of man, it brings a snare. We can all kind of picture what a snare might be, but it can be other words for it, like are a noose or a trap. So the fear of man, it's what's interesting, it's not exactly in itself a snare, but it brings a snare. It gives a snare. Those who tend to fear man, to trust in man, it brings a snare. It sets a snare for their feet. It is a trap and a stumbling block for them. Just for a picture of this, if you could turn to Exodus 23, we see what's a snare used in the Old Testament. Exodus 23. And if you could read with me Exodus 23, verses 31 through 33. So this is the Lord speaking to Moses. He says in verse 31, "And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." And that's the word here, snare. The idea is that it would be a trap for them and entangle them. There are many other pictures of snares. But the idea is that those who fear man, they're setting a snare for themselves. That we do not want to be like that. The wicked, it says in Proverbs 12:12, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." So we see is going with an angry man, it's going with company that is not good, evil company, that sets a snare for your soul. It sets a trap for you. And that's what really what the fear of man is in this verse. I was reading a few, if you have a chance, Mr. Spurgeon actually wrote a whole sermon on this passage. I'd really encourage you to read it. I just had a few quotes from here. There's so many ways in which the fear of man can be shown forth. It can be, we can all think of ways. It's fear of loss of human approval at work. It can be fear of all sorts of different things. Spurgeon has a few listed down here that I'll just read. He says, "What a common evil the fear of man is. The fear of losing human approbation, also the fear of incurring human wrath. There are thousands of men who have no fear of God, who have great fear of man. They break the laws of God without any fear of the consequences that must ensue. They are afraid to break the laws of man because they dread the punishment that might possibly follow. They are not afraid of hell, yet they are afraid of an earthly prison. They tread not the arm of the Almighty, yet they are afraid of an arm of flesh." And I mean, I speak for myself. I believe we're all tempted to fear what other people might think. That's obviously not a wrong thing to fear the laws of man, but challenge our hearts. Are we obeying them because we fear man or because we fear God? Anyway, so we have the fear of man, and then in verse 26, we have, in contrast, I'm skipping a couple sentences here. Verse 26. "But justice for man comes from the Lord." I think a better way to put it would be, "But a man's judgment is from the Lord." The Lord, we should not be fearing man because the Lord is our ultimate judge. He is the one to whom we must give an account. We all know that he will render to each one according to his deeds. And of course, we know, well, people are afraid of men, but we all know that man is fickle. They're constantly straying. They are constantly changing their mind and following other things. But God is always true. Every one of his righteous judgments endures forever. We know that all the works of his hands are truth and justice. And we know that if we follow Christ, that our judgment comes from the Lord and that we will be justified before him. But still, we all know that our judgment is coming. And he will bring every act into judgment, along with every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. And I'll just think of Matthew 10:28. Jesus asks it, says, "Do not fear," "do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that's pretty serious there. Whom do we fear? Now, come to the second theme of this. It's not just whom do we fear, whom do I seek? There's what many seek. Verse 26a says, "Many seek the ruler's favor." Now, when he says many seek the ruler's favor, it's kind of a phrase in the Hebrew that many seek the ruler's favor, but you can also translate many seek the face of the ruler, which is, it's a pretty accurate translation. Many seek the ruler's favor, but the idea is literally when you seek the face of someone, you seek their presence. You seek the honor of coming before them. And in this case, seeking the face of a ruler is something special. Because the ruler is an honored person. You seek the honor of his presence. Now, I mean, you can think of many reasons like a ruler might be sought, might seek him for the honor of meeting. I mean, we can think of, for example, meeting the president. That's one thing that, I mean, several people would be really neat to meet the president, to shake his hand, or if we lived in a different country, the king, or whoever. But also rulers are sought for requests to be granted. That is, I mean, I think of the parable that Jesus spoke of the widow who sought daily of the judge to be avenged of her adversary. That's another reason to seek a ruler. Well, is that injustice and judgment? But anyway, many seek the face of a ruler on earth. They seek him, perhaps for all these things, for honor, for their requests to be granted, and for requests for judgment and justice. But is this really the best source? Is this really whom we should be seeking? Of course, we can all know the answer to that question. Whom should we be seeking? But it already says in the verse, back in verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So, should we be seeking men or God? I think the answer is obvious. He who trusts in the Lord, that man shall be safe. And I think we'll probably spend most of our time on this. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Whoever makes the Lord his trust, this person shall be safe. Now, these are those who seek the Lord. I'll just read a few verses. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. And really, the seeking the Lord puts away fear of men. If we seek the Lord, there is no reason we should be afraid. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. He says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? And I think that's a great comforting thought. You know, we so often tend in our natural flesh to be afraid of things in this world. But if we trust in the Lord, then that assuages and puts all that fear away. That doesn't mean forever we are still flesh, but there is no need to fear in the Lord. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Now this word will be safe is it's a really neat picture here. It literally means will be set on high. That is, he will be set on high out of the reach of all his enemies. And actually the only time this appears in Proverbs other than this verse is actually Proverbs 18, 10 through 11, which I had the privilege of teaching a few months back. So let's go over and turn to Proverbs 18. And just read that real quick. Proverbs 18:10. I mean, we're probably all familiar with this verse. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I think set on high. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. So there's another contrast there. What is truly safe and what men think is safe. So let us seek the Lord where we may be truly safe. And it's also, this word also comes in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, 14, I'll just read it to you. Because, this is the Lord speaking, because he, that is my servant, has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. And that's the great promise that we have from God, that if we seek him and put our trust in him, he will protect us and will set us up on high. So having gone through those verses, going back to Proverbs 29, we see the fear of man contrasted to the fear of God. We see seeking the Lord versus seeking man. And we come to the result of that. The result of whom we seek and whom we fear is this. Proverbs 29:27. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. And that's pretty strong. I mean, other places where we see the word abomination in Scripture, we can probably think of several places in the law where it says that if a man knows a man as of a woman, it is an abomination to the Lord. And the idols are that men seek and worship, that is an abomination to the Lord. The idea is something disgusting, something abhorrent. It's used also culturally. Probably the first time it was used is of shepherds. They were an abomination to the Egyptians. But here we read that the unjust man, that is a man of iniquity, of lawlessness, this man is an abomination to the righteous. And you might ask, why is that? Why is he an abomination to the righteous? Well, the righteous is one who trusts in the Lord and who seeks the Lord. And we know that if we seek the Lord, we love the things that he loves and hate the things he hates. I'll just read a few verses in the Deuteronomy. The word, when he says an unjust man or a man of iniquity, it could be anything that's breaking the law, anything that is directly a violation, an obvious violation of God's law. I'll just read Deuteronomy 25, 15, and 16. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, that is, unjustly, dishonestly, having unjust weights and measures, they are an abomination to the Lord your God. God is very clear about what is pleasing and what is not pleasing to him. Proverbs 8:7 says, "For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips." And I probably won't read it right now, but Proverbs 6:16-19 lists seven things that the Lord hates that are an abomination to him. And you can read that at some other time. But injustice is an abomination to the Lord because he is righteous. Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. So that is what the unjust man is before the righteous. Now, because they seek the Lord. Contrary-wise, where I say, on the other hand, I should say, it says, he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. And just looking in Scripture for verses that show like what is an abomination to the wicked, I couldn't find as many verses. But Proverbs 13:19 is a very clear one. Proverbs 13:19. For those that are foolish, that forsake God's law and do what they desire, what's pleasing in their own eyes. Proverbs 13:19. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. And that's a very sad state to be. It's an abomination to depart from evil. And the reason that the wicked hate the righteous is really, as Jesus tells us, because they hate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 7:7 is one verse. The world hates us because Jesus testifies of the world that their deeds are evil. And of course, we're speaking here of the natural state of men before God. That doesn't, even though wickedness should be an abomination in our eyes, that does not mean that we should not seek to point them to Christ. Really, it should cause us all the more to show them the Word of God and to point them to Christ, to say, seek the Lord that he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near, and to seek that which is pleasing to the Lord, because he gives of the fountain of the water of life freely. But anyway, we see here in Proverbs a very clear dichotomy between there's those who seek men and those who seek God. And I just ask the question, who is our master? Whom do we think about in our the back of our minds? Like, whom do we seek to please? As Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And let us hate evil and love what is good. Let's just close with a few. I want to read a passage in Jeremiah 17. And I have one more quote from Spurgeon I thought was really encouraging. So, Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. So that is those that fear man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So I would encourage us all to trust in the Lord God, in him alone, because he is worth far more than anything that we think we may gain from serving man. Actually, let me read two quotes here. I had one from Keelan Delitzsch. I'll read this. It is only confidence in God that truly saves. The fear of man plunges him into yet greater suffering than that from which he would escape. Confidence in God, on the other hand, lifts a man internally and at last externally above all his troubles. So that's a great comfort. Confidence in God is the only means that can lift us up above our troubles. And then I'll just close with Spurgeon's quote here. The man who is trusting in the blood and righteousness of Jesus may not always be happy, but he is safe. He may not always be singing, but he is safe. He may not always have the joy of full assurance, but he is safe. He may sometimes be distressed, but he is always safe. He may sometimes question his interest in Christ, but he is always safe. He shall be safe if he is sick, if he is rich, if he is poor. He shall be safe when he dies, safe when he rises again, safe at the day of judgment, and safe throughout eternity. Oh, then, come all of you and trust in the Lord, for whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe forever. Amen. I thought that was a really good quote. Anyone have any comments or questions?